And welcome, believers. I'm your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid, and this is Lucha Lowdown. We are just days away from Lucha Underground Season 3 premiere, September 7th on El Rey Network. And you know our guest today so very well that he doesn't need an introduction, but because we love hearing it so much, we're going to give it to him anyway. Take it away, Melissa.
Introducing first, from the 559, they call him Cage.
Brian Cage, welcome to Lucha Lowdown. How you doing, man?
Good. You know, I was about to introduce me. I'm like, we should play a snippet or audio clip from Melissa announcing me right now. And boom, look at that. You guys made the magic happen.
Hey, you know, that's what we try and do here. But, I mean, we love that. I got a chance to catch up with Melissa Santos at Comic-Con, actually. And it was too perfect because I was interviewing her, and she got a phone call. And I'm looking over, and I was like, oh, who's that call? And she's like, it's actually Brian Cage right now. I'm like, oh, where's he from? And then without missing a beat, she's like, he's from the 559. I was like, that is perfect. So, yeah, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Not bad. Not too bad. Actually, just perfectly coordinated this interview time too. So I just got out of the gym and on my cool down period. I'm like, oh, nailed it.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate you making the time. And I got to say, before we jump into Lucha Underground and your career and everything, because there's a lot of great stuff I want to ask you. I saw you at All Pro Wrestling this past week up here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And first of all, you put on a great show. All those guys put on a hell of a show. But you did something in that ring that I have never seen before in my entire life. I believe it was Adam Thornstow of Reno Scum. He was doing like a flip from the turnbuckle or the ring apron, and you caught him in the suplex position and then gave him like a tombstone pile driver type move. I've never seen that before in my life.
The catch suplex deal, and then it was like a version of the Steiner screwdriver, as I call it, the drill claw to play on the Wolverine connection.
That was incredibly impressive. So well done by you and all those guys. I mean, the way you caught him so perfectly in the suplex position was great, and great show. And it was really cool to see you guys do your thing live. But I want to jump into sort of how you broke into the business, because I was doing some reading on it. I mean, it's pretty unique from my perspective. How did you break into the business?
I'm not sure which aspect. I mean,
I saw a story about you taking a sign to Arco Arena in Sacramento and getting noticed by Canyon.
That's the main portion. But yeah, that was one of my favorite guys that I really liked and appreciated, especially when I got like smarter to the business, if you will, and I appreciated like all his moves and his bumps and his selling and his strikes and everything. And when they had a line angle, and it was the first time I was able to see a lot of WCW guys live. Never went to a WCW event. My main goal was to make a Who Better the Canyon sign because I wanted him to see it. And as they had the Austin Appreciation Night and he had the Who Better than Austin shirt, somebody threw something in the ring and he got off on the second turnbuckle and I stood up in my chair. I was in the sixth row and saw my sign. And he didn't react to it, but he looked right at it. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And as they were leaving after Kurt Angle sprayed him around with milk, he said, coin towards me in my direction. I'm like, pointing at myself. And he shook yes, and gave me a big thumbs up, and I was, ecstatic from that. I was like 16 or 17, and I waited outside for him while the wrestlers' cars are. He came over, he signed my sign, signed my T-shirt, and it was just super memorable night, and it made me want to be a wrestler that much more, just to give somebody else that feeling, that kind of a long-lasting memory. Anyways, fast forward to it, cut through all the detail. Like, I ended up becoming friends with him, and He helped train me and give me an opportunity into Deep South. I was uncontracted there, but I was the only guy that was on every practice, every show, every house show with Deep South. And what led to me getting an opportunity, which led to me being signed into the World Wrestling Federation World Wrestling Entertainment back in 2008.
I mean, that's incredible. So do you still have the sign? I mean, for something like that to hinge on, your fandom for Canyon. I mean, it's a great story. I mean, do you still have that?
I have the sign and I have the Who Better Than Austin shirt.
That's amazing. What a show to be at too. I mean, that's one of the very, very memorable ones from the Invasion time period.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was, they had Mini Booker T with The Rock out there.
Yeah.
It was actually one of Rey Mysterio's first dark matches too, before he was on television.
No kidding.
Pop tears like, oh, sure, Rey Mysterio.
That's awesome. I mean, and again, just a great story. I'm glad you still have that. I mean, those are some keepsakes for your career for sure. So you got signed to WWE. How did your career sort of lead you into Lucha Underground?
Well, I ended up getting released from the feds, which was unfortunate, but hey, things happen. I don't need to go into the long spiel of being wrongfully so. I mean, many people called me idiots, but let me go anyways. And then, I did a couple of stints with TNA, and they were going to pick me up as well. But right after I left the WWE, I actually did a tryout with for AAA with Conan and such. And I remember he was so high on me, and he's like, you know what? Just stay tuned. We got some stuff coming up, in the works. And they were going to be working with the state side and getting a TV deal and yada, yada, yada. He's like, I'd like to be in Mexico, but I'd love to use you for this. Just to stay in there. And, years later, that finally came to fruition, and that was Lucha Underground. So I got contacted that months before they started filming. And I actually went back to TNA again and did the exhibition thing, and I also got contacted to do a tryout with WWE, and I got the contract offer from Lucha Underground, and I told WWE no, and then TNA was kind of dead in the water, especially them losing their Spike deal. So I made a deal with Lucha Underground, especially because my deal had a separate deal with AAA as well, and there we go.
I mean, I'm biased. I think you chose well.
Yeah. I do as well. I think especially for me, being showcased the way I have, I don't think I would have been, I wouldn't have got the same opportunity elsewhere. And and to be honest too about it, I kind of thought, I wanted to do, and I wanted to be have faith in it all. I really thought it was going to be kind of a cluster. I thought it'd be a quick, easy few paydays, and it'd kind of fizzle out and kind of be a flop more or less, because a lot of us didn't know what to expect. We're like, is it TV guys running like a wrestling show? Like, but then when I got there, I couldn't have been more wrong. It was so organized, so awesome. The treatment was phenomenal. I mean, that varies any other companies. Just what they give us, what they do for us. I mean, it was, I couldn't compare it to anything. I'm like, man, we're like freaking movie stars here in comparison to anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I couldn't have been more wrong. Could have been more happy to have been wrong.
That's really, really interesting to hear. So, I mean, because, Lucha Underground, it has such a great following. And I think, among the wrestling community, the reviews for it have been, off the charts. People love it. How did, when did you know? Because you said you were skeptical at the start. When did you know that you were in a place that was going to get red hot like Lucha Underground has gotten?
Well, I mean, really the first weekend, just like the way it was set up in the organization, just better than I thought. I thought it would be just like a cluster, like total chaos. And then when I saw like a lot of the vignettes and like the little, freaking high packages for everybody's characters and all the cinematic feel to it and look and how awesome, like Mark and Alpha, I'm like, I'm going to do that. Like, oh yeah, we're going to do this awesome fight scene one with you and training video one. I'm like, oh, sweet. And like, then the crowd was just awesome. And I mean, obviously I knew a lot of the talent already. So I mean, I just realized, like, hey, this actually might be a pretty damn awesome thing. And then, when the first Aztec Warfare happened, and I saw him debut on TV. I also seen Darks for him. But I watched it. That was the first, especially hour-long bit of wrestling that I've watched in a long time where I was fully invested in the match, like, move for move, person to person, where I wasn't looking at my phone. I wasn't facing it. Like, I was so like, this is awesome. I had no idea what was going to happen. I kayfabe myself from the results.
What was
taking place. And, like, this is the first time in a long time that I was that I felt like a fan again watching wrestling. Not from a wrestling standpoint, a wrestler standpoint. So at that match, I was like, man, this place is sweet.
I could not agree with you more as far as, I mean, that's just something, I'm a wrestling fan, my whole life. But, growing up, when you, quote, become like a smark or whatever it is, the terms they use now. But, when you start to, try and predict what's going to happen or whatever and stuff like that, I don't do that with Lucha Underground. I mean, you guys always keep me guessing. Like you said, like, I don't look at my phone, like, I'm glued to the screen, and it's really the only thing that really does that for me on television in general right now. So, I mean, it's good to hear that it has that effect on you guys too. Cause I mean, it is an hour of compelling television. And with that, I got to take the time to say that we are talking with Brian Cage, who is one of the stars of Lucha Underground on El Rey Network. Don't forget, Believers, Season 3 premieres on September 7th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. on the Best Coast, the West Coast. But with that, you know, thanks to Melissa Santos, we heard at the top, you know, we all know that you hail from the 559. How much do you love her her entrance for you, putting over your hometown like that? Are you getting a lot of love?
You know what? Here's the story. I was about to make note of this when you first brought that up. So when I first heard the introduction, I was like, what? What the hell? Why are you guys saying 559? And it's because I do live in Fresno, but I'm not from Fresno.
Okay.
There's a local supplement shop, Fitness Nutrition. It sponsors me, and he's an awesome sponsor. He just bought everything. But I had a shirt on, like just, you know, chilling backstage, and I had like the phone number on the back. And one of the writers from season one is from Hanford, which is right by Fresno. So it's the same area code. So she knew it and stuff. And then Lee suggested, like, oh, you should announce it from the 559 just to have difference. You know, I had no idea they were going to do that. And when they did it, speaking of which, I guess he's calling me right now. Anyway,
Melissa Santos?
Yeah. And so when they did it, I was like, I was a little upset because I'm from the Chico area code is 530. I was going to make note. We said that I was calling her for long. I'm like, what's the area code? It's 530. It wasn't 559. But so I was like, no, it should be 530 because I'm from Chico and I've always had, like, if you go to any show,
yeah,
like even APW, I'm announced from Chico.
Yeah.
So I was a little mad, but then, like, the more I heard it, like, the catchier it was, and I kind of realized, like, yeah, 559 sounds cooler than 530. It wouldn't have had the same, like...
It's kind of there to stay.
Like, oh, it's okay.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because when I first heard, oh, from the 559, I was like, oh, this guy's from Fresno, because, you know, I've done some work with people, and, like, whenever I call Fresno, it's always 559. It's like, it's good to know, okay, so it is the 530 is where you're actually from.
That is correct. But, like, yeah, I do live here. And it's funny, too, when I'm... you know, I'm recognized at a gym or whatever, and I'm around town. It's like, oh, God, you're Cage. And I'm like, what do you live here? And I'm like, yeah, the announcer's in the 559. What the hell? Like, is that the area code? Don't you live here, too?
Well, Melissa Santos has helped you keep a degree of anonymity then. You know, you got to keep a little bit more of your pride. People are looking for you all over Fresno. They won't find you in Chico then.
actually, somebody just tweeted. They're like, I think I just saw Cracks. It just happened to be in Chico 2 days ago, and then I was like, oh, I thought I just saw the Machine Cage in the Chico Sports Club. I'm like, he goes, oh, it couldn't have been him. I said, no, actually, it was. He's like, that's because I'm really from the 530, not from the 559. But
oh, that is great. So it just, yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, it sounded too good to change. Your catchphrase is another thing. So, I mean, it's one of the favorites of the temple. I mean, all the believers and everything like that, they say it along with you. I mean, did you see I'm Not a Man, I'm a Machine getting over like it has?
Oh, no way. No way. And actually, I owe that to Excalibur from the commentator from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Mm-hmm. He's really the one that got that thing over. I mean, I would do some, like, cool feat that a guy my size or look shouldn't be able to do, or, you know, a feat of strength or whatever. And he would say, you know, a more vulgar version of it, call me the, you know, effing machine. Brian Cage, the effing machine. And that just got over from that. And then that's where they took it from. So, I mean, that's how that moniker came about. And, like, yeah, it's obviously worked out well for me.
So I also do another show called The Best Damn Nerd Show. And so I want to ask you about your character, because when I hear you being called the Swolverine, your finisher's the Weapon X, when I hear those things, like, my eyes as, like, a nerd that loves comic books, I light up, and I'm like, aha, he's one of us, at least on a certain level. So, like, how big into X-Men are you, and when did that start? Was this thing when you were a kid? How'd you get into that?
Oh, for sure. Since I was, you know, realistically, I can't say that I got into my own. I got to give 100% credit to Fox, because the X-Men cartoon is really what lit me on fire. Yeah, it's the best goddamn cartoon ever. And from that, I mean, then I got super into the comics. And actually, more than anything, even I still have tons of action figures and everything else, but more than the figures or the games or anything, I love the trading cards.
Yes.
I have so many sets. I still have, I mean, thousands of cards. I have all my cards, all my freaking inserts and everything on my plastic. Those are, like, some of my prized collection. I'm like, don't you freaking touch these. They're mine. These ain't going nowhere.
Dude, that is awesome.
But no, I've loved it ever since. And, like, not to steal Hurricane's phrase, but yeah, since I was, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, I wanted to be a pro wrestler or a superhero. And, you know, the pro wrestler thing was a little more likely than becoming a superhero. But, you know, if I could have got adamantium skeleton and survived and gone out and, you know, stabbed people, then I would have done that. But I guess I'll settle for being a machine called Cage. So.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of get to do both. So, you know, as a pro wrestler and with your Cage character, which is awesome. I mean, I saw, like, I read, like, forum comments and stuff like that. And one of my favorites is, this is why I love Lucha Underground, is that, you know, like the feds could break into the temple and treat Cage like he escaped from like some type of Weapon X type program, and it would be totally believable and totally awesome. I mean, do you foresee any sort of maybe more supernatural kind of superhero-esque stuff perhaps for the Cage character?
There could be some stuff like that coming in season three, and you know, there's not, people say that, but there's no how can I word it? There's no, you know, exact reason that, you know, maybe I'm not, it's not just a catchphrase. It's possibly I might actually be part machine.
So exactly.
Where that takes place.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I'm looking forward to season three, September 7th, see where the Cage character goes. I know they just released today an awesome new poster with you on it and saying that you're going to take it to the next level.
I was like, damn, that's a sweet ass picture. I've seen that. I'm the first one. I just saw it too myself. Today, I'm like, let me just go ahead and screenshot that one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's badass, dude. And I know you were at Comic-Con too, so I mean, were you kind of was that your first Comic-Con you've been to, or I mean, how much did you get to enjoy it?
That was my first ever Comic-Con in San Diego, which I've always wanted to go, so it was a nice little bucket list for myself. I know, yeah, I was totally geeking out for sure. Like the first day I was down, I didn't do any signings and meet and greet stuff, but I was like, I just wanted to go in there and hang out, and even more so the next day. And I was, you know, I'd get stopped for pictures here and there for stuff, and it wasn't so much that I was in a rush to get out of there. I wanted to, you know, be a fan myself, and I want to check out everything. It's like all the cool little statues and figurines and random cool. I mean, I was marking out for everything. If I had a plethora of money to waste on pointless things, that exactly was what I'd be spending all my money on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need a couple extra rooms to put it all in there. But matter of fact, actually, I just bought some. You know, like the little sideshow statues, the little limited run edition one. I just received the latest Wolverine one I recently bought. So, oh yeah, I'm a nerd for sure. I got so many random, you know, this and that for sure.
We're happy to have you among our ranks, and I mean, I definitely think cosplay down the line. If you get to consistently go to the convention, I think you'd be a huge hit with that as well. So
have you seen by chance my Bane costume on my Instagram from like a couple years ago?
No, I have not. I do follow you on Instagram. I'll have to go check that out.
It's a little far down there, but yeah, I remember everyone was marking out. He was like, Brian Cage just killed it. His Bane just murdered everybody.
Now, which Bane did you go with?
It's real Bane. It's real Bane. No fucking lame Tom Hardy wannabe Bane. It's actual Bane.
Dude, I love it. Man, that's awesome. So you go with like Batman the Animated Series type Bane or?
Yep.
That's awesome. That's perfect too. I'm going to have to look that up. That's incredible. Like I said, good to have you on the nerdy side. We got a little bit of muscle with us. That's always good. I wanted to ask you, because I haven't really gotten to talk to a wrestler about this yet. I've talked to Melissa. I've talked to Carly. But with Lucha Underground being a TV show instead of a wrestling promotion, I imagine there's probably a pro and con with the schedule. Like, I know I got to see you at APW and stuff like that, so I know it frees you up to book a lot elsewhere. But what's, like, the taping schedule like for a wrestler? Does it take a toll? Do they space it out well? What has that been like?
As far as when they tape Lucha?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that bad. Usually we tape two or three episodes. It was, like, two straight episodes chronologically. Then they kind of started mixing some stuff up to, like, kind of get, like, two to three or like five throughout the weekend, just to get through it a little faster. But I mean, it's not too much more. Like, we don't wrestle on all of them, obviously, because we're not all on every episode. But I mean, like, yeah, you might do a few matches a week, but I mean, through one weekend, but it's no difference than going to work in a couple matches at an indie show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're there all day because of the taping structure, but I mean, they take care of us and cater us and like, treat us like movie stars. So I mean, it's fun hanging out there and being there all day. And I guess if anything, if you want to try to find a con to it, is with certain like tentative things, like with dates that can kind of change sometimes.
Yeah.
Or even like the idea of like trying to run like house shows or special appearances. Everything's not always like fully set in stone. And I feel like sometimes that's like ran through the network, and the network's like kind of like, oh, they're TV stars, so to speak, not realizing we're still independent wrestlers. So
gotcha.
If you book us on this set date, we may have something. If you want to cancel it, it's got to go through. And I feel like there's been a couple of times where there's just been a lack of communication, or maybe like inconsistency and something going down completely. So, and it's because they're not really thinking about our independent wrestling schedule. They're thinking about their schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah. So there's been a couple of like incidents where it's just like, you know, made it a little a little choppy, but more or less, I mean, there's not really, that's me just trying to nitpick whatever, but other than that, like, it's worked out fine. It goes great. And then to the fact that we shoot the season in a hole, you know, now like season three's done, and we get to go and keep wrestling, and apparently while we're still on TV the entire time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That seems like a perfect storm, actually, because, you know, we're the fans getting to watch you on TV, and then, you know, like, I look at my local independent promotions, like, oh, my God, Brian Cage is going to be here. I just saw him cage in a cage with Johnny Mundo. I gotta go to this show kind of deal. So that seems like seems to work out really well. Couple more minutes with Brian Cage. I know it's a busy day for you. I got to ask you if you have a highlight from your time in Lucha Underground, because I know one of the ones that stands out to me is the ripping of the title belt. Is that one for you as well?
Oh, for sure. I mean, honestly, that was, like, awesome, and like that was like, you know, a big debut for me too. My first big match on TV. You kind of put me over the moon and put me at the top right away. But obviously, that just got so much recognition and talked about, and, you know, gifts made online and yada yada yada. So obviously, that's got to be a top memory for sure. I mean, hell, I think I got like 3 or 4 different T-shirts made after as well. even today, people are still making shirts over me ripping the title in half. So or everyone talking I got a bunch of tweets from SummerSlam about people complaining about the Universal title and wanting me to rip that one out. So
that's awesome.
That's a long-lasting memory for sure. So
definitely. That's very cool. Yeah, no, it definitely resonated. Last question for you. I mean, so season 2, Cage firmly established as one of the top guys in Lucha Underground. But what can we expect from the Cage character in season 3 to give the fans a little bit of a tease, the believers?
Well, you know, I had a red-hot season, I thought, in season 2. Some of my favorite matches, and I loved the Cage in the Cage. Loved my match with Chavo. Thought even he put it over and thought it was one of his better matches in a while. My match with Matanza, you know, me and Willie Mack stole it again with the False Knight Anywhere. So
yeah,
it was red hot. You know, I kind of got the roll up, and kind of momentum slowed down with those last couple matches. So it's kind of back to the drawing board, just going out there and whooping ass and reestablishing myself to get back up to the top. I might indeed get an upgrade. Gonna have to kind of wait and see what that may be, but you know, I'm going out there, get the Terminator crap going, show everybody why nobody's better. You better than Brian Cage, nobody, and you know, just enjoy the show.
I love it, man, and thank you so much for taking the time. We've been talking with Brian Cage, who is one of the stars of Lucha Underground on El Rey Network. Season 3 premieres on September 7th. Brian, thank you so much again, man. This was a lot of fun.
Awesome, man. No problem. I appreciate you having me.